We're talking Saints football. Of course, we got to welcome in our sideline reporter, Jeff Nowak. Jeff, man, oh, man, been a pretty interesting day from all the buzz about obviously a certain wide receiver being mentioned as a favorite amongst the teams along with the New York Jets. It's kind of refreshing to hear that, you know, the Saints being a preferred destination, at least right off the bat.
Well, I suppose. I mean, I don't think it's really anything about the Saints in particular that has Davante Adams interested. It's Keith Williams, who's his former wide receivers coach at Fresno State, and obviously they've worked together in the offseason in other locations. And then Derek Carr, who's his former quarterback at Fresno State, and they obviously spent 15 games together with the Raiders in 2022. So, you know, yeah, it's refreshing, but it's also not like, oh, I got to go play for the Saints. So I think it is kind of a weird scenario that way. But it's definitely added some intrigue to what would otherwise have been a kind of ho-hum Wednesday.
Yeah, looking at the reality of it or the likelihood, could the Saints pull this off? Obviously, trade-wise, I think the draft capital they have, they could include a player or two if they wanted in this deal. But I think obviously the draft picks are the most important thing that the Raiders would be looking for. But cap-wise, how doable is this for the Saints? How much manipulating would need to be done?
Well, I mean, there's two questions there. One, can they do it? Which they can do it. They can figure it out. They never did touch Alvin Kamara's contract, so there's some extra cap space that can be freed up there, whether it's an extension or a restructure. If they did need to do it, you would have the option to maybe extend Davante off his current contract, add some void years, restructure his deal somehow. So you could get it done. It would be complicated, and it would just be a kind of departure back to the, I guess we're all in again era of you know, the final last few years of Drew Brees, and it's not something that this team has really signaled it's all that interested in doing. Now, when you end up with a scenario where a star wide receiver comes available and you can get him into your building for a price that you feel comfortable paying, then maybe that changes your dynamic to some extent. I would still be very, very surprised if the Saints, who spent this whole offseason being pretty conservative with the deals they were handing out and the decisions they were making, would suddenly throw caution to the wind and say, hey, at 2-2, now we feel like we are there. We're one player away. Because that, to me, my philosophy on this type of thing is, if you are in a position that you would consider yourself to be kind of Super Bowl or bust, a Super Bowl contender, and you feel like you're one player away, then sure, make win now trades, do what you got to do, throw your chips in the middle of the table, whatever metaphor you need to use to make it make sense to you, do it. You don't make that type of trade to go from being a non-playoff team to a playoff team. And that's what I would feel like would be happening. What it would do is probably cement the status quo of what you have now. You know, if I'm Dennis Allen, I'm kind of looking at it as like, what better job security could I have than making sure that there's really no way to reset the deck in a clean fashion? If you got to the point where you wanted to do that, because the only way that you could really manage this in a way that you go into next season feeling like you can compete is to kind of keep the deck the same, restructure Derek, push his cap commitment out into the future, restructure Alvin, push his cap commitment out into the future, keep the veterans in-house that you already have, because you won't be able to afford some of these cap hits that would come with moving on from a DeMario Davis, a Tyrann Mathieu, a Cam Jordan, and Alvin Kamara, you know, go down the line. So to me, that would be the consequences. You lose any and all flexibility you had to change things after this season. Now, maybe you don't want to. Maybe that's something you weren't planning on doing anyway, in which case, fine, go for it. But it seems like a pretty, even, you know, Davante might want it, but I think there's a difference between Davante wanting to be somewhere in the team that, you know, he's talking about actually feeling like it's the best course of action.
Yeah, you mentioned obviously with him coming over, I believe like his next season's contract, there's no money guaranteed, kind of like an Alvin Kamara situation. So he's basically playing out the final year of his current deal. You would think there would need to be a reworked contract to extend him if there was a plan from any team to bring Davante Adams into the mix.
I mean, there's money guaranteed. It's just not $44 million, which would be his cap hit. Now, you could cut him after this season and accept a $15 million dead cap charge. Oof. But this is not a team that's really going to be super keen on doing that. So, yeah, I mean, you're talking about a guy who you would most likely want to find an extension with. But you're also talking about a 31-year-old NFL football player. So how long do you want that commitment to be? I don't know. It's a tough scenario. That said, they could do it. It's really a question of whether they think it's the best call. And you have to weigh team chemistry. You have to weigh, okay, how would he fit into the offense? There's no question that he would make your team better.
Right.
But, you know, there's something to be said for this entire group went through camp. They put all the blood, sweat, and tears in. I think the wide receiver position, you look at Chris Olave, you look at Rashid Shaheed, you know, with one kind of brain-dead punt fielding decision excluded, you look at two guys who I think have played very, very well. I think they've done everything that you would hope that they would do. And so that would be a tough thing to sell if I was in that position. I'd be like, well, what could I have done differently where you don't feel like you need to go out and supplant me with a star that you feel better about. So I don't know. It's a tough scenario. I'm interested to see how it plays out. The Jets feel like the most obvious option, right? And I think the Jets right. are in a position where they can absorb that contract and they can do it in a way that is not as damaging to their future cap table. And I don't know what their draft assets are, but I'm sure they have them. So that would still be the most likely scenario to me, but it's still it's fun to kind of imagine what this offense would look like with Devontae in black and gold for sure.
Talking about what's going to look like, the injury report coming out tomorrow for this Saints squad. I know they went through a little bit of a walkthrough today. Media didn't have access. We'll get our first look at the team tomorrow. And obviously the first injury report for week 5, Monday Night Football at Kansas City will be out tomorrow. What are we expecting on there from anyone from Alvin Kamara, Taysom Hill? I know even Tyrann Mathieu and the other guys that were out in last game, like a DeMario Davis and so on. The injury report just seems to be growing for this team, and I don't know exactly if there's any hope of getting anyone back.
Well, I mean, there's hope of getting guys back. I guess, like, so Tyrann Mathieu played in that game. He left with a groin injury. This is not a game he wants to miss, so I'm sure he'll fight pretty hard to get on the field. Obviously, played for the Chiefs for several years, went to multiple Super Bowls. Alvin, I think he, you know, as much as he was playing through, I don't think his situation is going to be any worse than it was last week, so you feel good about that. DeMario, we'll have to see. Cesar Ruiz is one that we'll have to wait and see. Willie Gay, I'm intrigued to see whether he can get back on the field or not. He's dealing with something to do with his hand. There was an Instagram post of him in a hospital somewhere getting something done. So we'll have to see. I know some people had asked, like, hey, could you just club it and play like that? It's certainly possible. But I do think that if you're going to try to do that, you would want him on the field at some point this week to at least kind of test that out. So we'll see how that goes. But now, certainly a lot of injury questions to deal with. They do at least have one extra day to get these guys healthy. Kendre Miller is an interesting question. He's eligible to return from IR this week. The only question is he ready? I think it's likely that he gets out into practice at the very least this week, and you kind of gauge it from there, but we'll have to wait and see. I know when Daye was talking about it on Monday, he was kind of non-committal to that. I think it's kind of just, you know, he's not going to tell us. But I would expect to see him out there. So if he can get back, that would be a nice little punch added, because you just have not seen any depth players really impact this team in a tangible way. And that includes the tight end position. That includes anyone beyond Alvin Kamara at the running back position. That includes anyone beyond Rashid and Olave at the wide receiver position. So A.T. Perry is another guy that he got hurt in the week last week dealing with a hamstring issue. He was out for that game. It's a long list. But I do think that, you know, you did at least feel like, hey, the players you had filling in played pretty well in that game. Obviously, there were some issues on that final drive. But, I think the backup linebackers you had in there behind Willie Gay and DeMario Davis played pretty well. So we'll have to see.
Yeah, the biggest thing for me that I'm curious to find out about is more with the running back position. Obviously, AK, we know, is dealing with ribs. Taysom Hill left the game, not sure quite exactly what his status is with his rib injury as well. And then just, you mentioned Kendra Miller. Can he come back? Can he contribute right away this week? I'm sure it wouldn't be an extremely heavy workload if he is back in action. And just because Jamal Williams, to me, I just feel has been lost in the shuffle of late. You know, not many carries the past two games, and it's just perplexing of why he can't get more action.
Yeah, it's strange, and I do think that you really do have to try to take some of this workload off of Alvin Kamara. He's not going to – I mean, as good as he has been, you're not going to go very far if you don't have Alvin for the second half of the season, which at this point, it's like you're running him into the ground with the amount of work he's getting. You need someone to take some of that workload. Why it can't be Jamal, I'm not sure. But, no, I mean, the issue with Kendra is it's been, what, two and a half months since – he's been on the field at all, honestly, more than that, because we're going back to minicamp. The last time he actually got any actual work in, that he got hurt on the first day of training camp, so you can't even count that. So, I mean, it's going to be – I think he's going to have a pretty decent ramp-up period to make sure he's ready to go. I'd be kind of surprised if he was available in week five. It would be nice. It would be a good sign for him if he was. But that's I think that's a big ask for someone who hasn't been on the field that long. I would settle for him just being a participant, even a limited participant, all 3 days of practice. I think that would be an excellent sign for him, just in terms of getting him back. Because, yeah, there's been a punch missing in the running back room, just in general. You just haven't seen that burst from anyone other than Alvin. So, no, he's definitely a guy that I think this team really, really wants and needs to get back and get involved, and hopefully he can stay healthy. I mean, that's been the issue, right? He's been hurt. Him and A.T. Perry, both those guys, they just can't seem to stay healthy. So, you know, maybe you can get on the right side of that and get some production out of that position, because I just have a feeling that if you keep trying to get the amount of work out of Alvin that you have been over the last couple of weeks, he's not going to survive very long in this season.
Yeah, what's really curious, too, going into a Kansas City week, is that this Chiefs squad is so banged up as well, especially we know on that offensive side of the ball, running back, wide receiver, just really have been getting decimated over there. But somehow they've done what the Saints weren't able to do the past two games. They found ways to win, coming out with the victory, 4-0 team. But you feel like that this Saints team can hang with them, obviously, and with the strength being this defensive squad, albeit, you know, the final drive of games, the last two games, they can limit the Chiefs, I feel like, especially since they are so dinged up, and your main target is a guy in Travis Kelce, who folks are kind of saying he's in the, you know, waning years of his career. I still think he's obviously a dangerous presence for this team, but Patrick Mahomes, getting it to his wide receivers, the guys that he has right now just aren't the same that you would expect it to begin at the beginning of the year, and just feel like this Saints squad definitely can keep pace with this team. Can they really come out ahead and find a way to win in Kansas City and do what nobody's done in a while?
Yeah, well, yeah, you're going to look at 4-0 and say, like, wow, this Kansas City Chiefs team must be dominating. And the fact is, they could just as easily be 0-4. And the difference between the Chiefs and the Saints at this point in the season is the Chiefs understand how to win close games, and the Saints do not. And the Saints have done things to lose themselves close games, like run into each other and foul in key moments. Whereas that just seems like something the Chiefs have, you know, and that's when you win so many close games over a period of time, you're going to start to be good at it. Winning is a skill. I've always said that. Like, winning is a skill and losing is a skill. And right now the Saints seem to be more skilled at finding ways to lose than finding ways to win. But you look at the games the Chiefs have played, the Baltimore in the opener, Isaiah Likely, if his foot was a size 12 instead of a size 14, that's a Chiefs loss. They beat the Bengals by 1 point. They beat the Falcons by 5, and you could argue that they got bailed out by a non-call in the end zone on that final Falcons drive, so they could just easily have lost that game. And then against the Chargers this past week, they were down 10-0. They ended up winning 17-10, a lot of missed opportunities for the Chargers. So, no, I mean, this Chiefs team is anything but dominant. They lost their top receiver in Rashee Rice last week. He's done for the year. I mean, Pat Mahomes actually took him out after throwing an interception, trying to make a tackle, actually wiped out his own wide receiver. So that's some friendly fire there. Isaiah Pacheco is out. You're looking at Kareem Hunt, who just got signed, and Carson Steele. So, you know, I still wouldn't bet against Mahomes on Monday Night Football at Arrowhead, but you know, I don't think this game is going to be as, yeah, I think this will be a close game. I think the Saints should feel like they can go in there and be very competitive with this team, with this Chiefs team. And we'll have to see, but it's just, if you get into a scenario where Pat Mahomes has the ball trying to, you know, win a game on the final possession, like you have the last 2 weeks with, or at least, you know, last week with the Falcons, and the week before that, you needed to stop at the 2-minute warning. I don't like the Saints' chances because that's Pat Mahomes. So we'll have to see, but I'd like to see the Saints go in there and play a clean game, whatever happens, right? They could lose that game. If they can just play a clean game and eliminate some of these dumb errors, dumb mistakes that they've been making the last 2 weeks, I think they'll feel better about it, even if they don't win. But I do think if they can go in there and play a clean game, I think they should be able to win that game.
Appreciate you, Jeff. We'll be talking even more about the Saints and Kansas City Monday Night Mayhem coming up on the Inside Black and Gold podcast tomorrow morning. I'll speak to you then, man.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Our Saints sideline reporter and WWL digital content producer, Jeff Nowak. There you can follow him at Jeff_Nowak on Twitter.